And thus we adjust. That's how we begin Thursday's show. I think I said at the end of the Wednesday program that we're scheduled to have offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr. and defensive coordinator Glenn Spencer, because in the back of my mind, I knew there was a chance that we wouldn't. Because in the back of my mind, I knew there was a chance that the football game against Navy would get postponed, which is exactly what happened. The word came down late Wednesday morning. Let's tell you right now with a little bit of certainty that there's a definite chance USF and Navy doesn't get played. I'm just reading from the Capital Gazette website. I tweeted out the link to this article early Thursday. Capital Gazette, by the way, based out of Annapolis, obviously covers Navy football. And from their angle, it doesn't sound like it's going to get played. Nothing against the Bulls, but they already have two games that they want to make up. The last two games, Memphis and Tulsa. And they want to play Memphis next weekend in Tulsa the following Saturday, December the 5th. And guess what's December the 12th? That's Army-Navy. That's not getting moved. Well, you can only make up so many games without extending the season, obviously, further than in Navy's case, I'm guessing they want to. I'm thinking Army-Navy is the end, or from their perspective, Navy-Army is the end of their season. Here's what the AD said. His name's Chet Gladchuk, and I quote, "Apparently there is still an emerging problem at USF. The football team has been depleted to such a degree it was not practical to move forward with this game." Going on to say, "I don't see any opportunity for rescheduling USF, so it will go down as a non-contest." There it is from the AD from Navy. Obviously, that's not official. And there's some other good quotes there about the silver lining of all this, preventing his team from traveling, therefore going further to assure that there's not going to be a spread of what their situation was that began to rear up about a month ago. Ken Niumatalolo, the head coach, is also quoted in this article saying, "It's 2020, man. You deal with the circumstances as they come and keep pressing forward. Obviously, we would love to have played USF this Saturday, but now we'll regroup and get ready for our next opponent." Also comparing it to life in the military. You got to start, stop. You have to adapt and overcome. Plenty from the Brian Gregory show last night. It was our taping. Hopefully, you got to hear it first air. And really, as I tweeted out, the main thing was a name that, go ahead and put it right now in your head if you haven't heard the show yet. Tell me a name that you would be surprised by that is a guy that Coach Gregory says is going to be hard to keep off the floor. And I'll be honest, it's somebody that I hadn't thought about him. I thought about him, but not as a guy that would be a must start or anything like that. And that's good news. When there are players that you didn't even really factor into the main rotation that sound like they're going to be, just another sign of how deep this team is. So that's coming up, along with a couple of clips from the guests on the show, Tom Harrien, associate head coach, and David Collins as well. We've been playing interviews that I had last week at the photo shoot. If you've missed any of them, just check out our Unlimited Unloaded page. That's SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. If you don't subscribe to that, well, come on, get with the program. Just type USF, you'll see Bulls Unlimited Unloaded come up, and that's where we post the interviews from the shows, a lot of the shows as well, and in this case, my previous interviews. So we're not going to have one on this Bulls Beat show today simply because we already have plenty of men's basketball in this segment. Our interviews for the second segment will include a couple from the softball team, actually, together, Megan Piero and Megan Sheehan. They showed up in the room together. Turns out they're roommates. They're both named Megan. It made all the sense in the world. You'll also hear from women's golfer Jess Whitting and baseball pitcher Orion Kirkering. Want to say happy birthday. It was yesterday to Jose Fernandez, the women's basketball coach. We anticipate, I know I've been saying this for 10 days, the schedule to be released. It might even come in increments as far as the non-conference and then the conference, but my intel has it that the conference schedule will finally be released on Friday at some point, so you might know everything. Now, it seems pretty clear that the women's team is going to begin its season next Saturday, the 28th, at the Yingling Center. We'll still have to tell you about plans for fans and that kind of thing when it comes out, but for now, that seems a pretty certain situation. As far as the men's schedule goes, they would like for it to begin on Wednesday at the Yingling Center. It was supposed to begin on Wednesday at the Yingling Center. In fact, you'll hear Tom Harrien explain, because he is the man basically in charge of scheduling, what's going on there in just a few minutes. But we do know for certain it's either going to be Wednesday at the Yingling Center or Saturday in Uncasville, Connecticut, as far as when the men's team tips it off. Speaking of that, Brian Gregory. Now, before we get into some of the players, his staff has undergone some changes. Not as far as the coaches go. It's still Harrien, who was promoted to associate head coach, and he spoke about that with Jim Lighthall, if you want to listen to the full replay of the show. We're airing it several times, and you can just go to our Twitter page, at Bulls Unlimited, to get those air times. Other two assistant coaches are still Scott Wagers and Larry Dixon, but new members of the staff. Well, definitely a familiar name, Altron Jackson, is the Director of Player Development, Strength and Conditioning, Travis Wallace, and Director of Operations, John Janofsky. Now that I think about it, after all three of those individuals were hired, I had a chance to speak with them for Bulls Beat. So again, scroll down. You don't have to scroll down, actually. Just go to the page and type in the name, and it'll take you to that episode if you want to hear from them. But here's Coach Gregory on the new members of the staff.
We lost quality guys. We really did. But anytime there's movement, your job as the head coach is to bring in new pieces that add new things. And I think we did that with Travis Wallace as a strength conditioning coach. I think we probably are the only basketball program that has their strength conditioning coach was a former and high-level basketball player. So he's not only well-versed and an expert in all the strength conditioning stuff and the nutrition stuff, he played the game and played professionally, was a high-level college player at North Florida, and so has been through everything our guys have gone through. So that's really been good. Plus, he does a lot of training of the NBA players. So when he talks, those guys listen, you know. Bringing in John Janowski as the director of basketball operations, I needed a guy that we didn't have to train, that could come in and plug and play and just do the job. And he's got great experience and obviously a high-level basketball guy too, which adds a lot to it as well. And then, you know, the final piece, I mean, moved things around a little bit. Basketball mind-wise and knowledge of our system and so forth, no one has a better feel for it than Billy Hubley. He was with me at Georgia Tech and knows the league while he was at East Carolina. And to move him into the video spot that does a lot of our preparation work was really critical. And also he's now able to kind of expand that role for our self-scout stuff in terms of our own stuff and development within the program, which really will help us. And then, you know, the last spot that we needed was someone that was the University of South Florida and our program was really important to. And so bringing back a former player in Altron Jackson was a no-brainer for me. He never had done the job before, didn't have experience in that job, but what he is, he's a Bull. And he loves this place.
He loves this place.
Yes. And so with the veteran crew that I had around him, it gave me the opportunity, and I've wanted to do it for a while. We just didn't have the right, you know, it's a puzzle. You got to find the right pieces, and he was the right piece for a lot of reasons. And that group that we brought in together all during the summer has really come around, has really impacted our program.
Yeah, it's too bad that Altron can't get out there on the practice court because he is just the director of player development because he still looks like he could play. But it is just a wonderful staff. Everybody fits in, and it is a fun group to be around. I have a feeling it's going to be a great group to watch play this year. And in this five-minute clip, you're going to get a lot about the group, player by player. And remember I said there was one that you might be surprised to hear is going to be tough to keep off the floor. Stay tuned for that right now.
It's going to fire off some names.
Yeah.
Obviously, David Collins.
Yeah, dramatically improved, shooting the ball better, making really good decisions. Assist to turnover ratio in practice has been really good. We need to get him a thinking shot when he doesn't have the ball. So he's moving to get into shots. He needs to expand his game from hard drives to being able to hard drive, but also be shooting and thinking shot every time he's open.
Justin Brown, the other senior.
He's been tremendous, tremendously improved, better with the ball, shooting it great, shooting it off the bounce much better, rebounding well, just a better version of JB.
Michael Durr looks really, really,
really
good.
Really good. Yeah. One of our, you know, I would say we have three of them. He's one of the three most improved. Done a great job rebounding, shooting the ball better, scoring better in the post. The best thing for Michael Durr is Prince Adoro and Russell in practice because now he has to go hard every single day.
I was just going to bring those two guys up next because you have tremendous size on this team. And you're going to look great getting off the bus.
Yeah, we better look good getting on the bus after winning, too. But, no, those guys have been really good. And when you think about it, one's a sophomore, one's a junior, and they could be sophomores and juniors next year, too, with the new rule. Yep. They have a bright future for us. They've come in And, you know, they're both those guys, what they need to do is play. They need to play in practice, which has helped them because we play a lot more now. But they're, you know, they're different players, but they're both very physical and they're really good rebounders, and they've gotten better at putting the ball in the basket.
Luke Anderson is a kid from Lakeland that we saw on the bench this past year. Looking forward to seeing him.
He gets the crap beat out of him every single day.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing for him. It's the best thing for him. Because he's playing in our program, by the time he's a junior and senior, he could be a special player. Because he's going to get tougher now. He's going to learn how to play more physical. But he can really shoot the ball, and that's something that we're going to need.
Xavier Castaneda.
He's been banged up a little bit, Jim. You know, so that's one of my biggest concerns, is because he had a great summer. And early part of the first week or two of practice, he was really good. And he just knows everything. I'm just really comfortable when he's out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we got to get him back healthy, maybe another week or two. But he's a critical part for us to become the team we want to be.
Madut and also Jameer Chaplin, who looks like he is surging.
Okay, so Madut was our leading scorer in the first scrimmage, but a minute into that scrimmage, did a little hairline fracture of his tibia, played the rest of the scrimmage and led us in scoring. He's shooting the ball well, great energy. Again, he's a much better player. So he's earned minutes when he gets back, and he'll be out another couple weeks. And Jameer Chaplin, I talk about Mike, by far, no doubt about it, the most improved player in our program.
Okay.
He is our leading rebounder in practices. He is shooting at a 50% clip from the three in practices. Just tremendous energy. He's gotten better with the ball. I'm trying to figure out, I blame the assistants, why we didn't play him more last year. I blame them, those knuckleheads. They screwed that thing up, you know. But he's got a chance to have a breakout year for us. It's going to be hard to keep him off the court.
Caleb Murphy, everybody wants to know about, a much-heralded freshman coming
just
in.
Just a super talent, but a humble kid, you know. And I wasn't as surprised, but I think maybe our guys were a little surprised with all the hoopla that came with him coming here. Very humble, very coachable kid, wants to get better. He's got a lot to learn because he's a freshman and we're throwing him to the wolves. You know, with X out, he's playing exclusively at the point. Kind of came in as a combo, but we need him to play exclusively at the point for us. So there's a lot to throw on his plate there. But he can make plays. And when things break down, he's going to get he can create his own shot and he can get shots for other people. And he's a high level athlete, which makes up for some of the, you know, just lack of experience. All his thing every day is just, he's never done it before.
Yeah.
So he'll get better and better every day.
I got to mention Mark Kaya because this guy could be starting 10 games this year by the time it's all said and done.
And I wouldn't have one problem with
good.
That at all.
Good.
He is really, he was the third guy, Mike, Jameer, and him. Like, you watch our practice, you wouldn't say, that's a walk-on.
Yeah.
Incidentally, if you missed yesterday's show, we had a conversation with Mark Kaya, and if you want to go to the Unlimited Unloaded page, it's right there. The note on Xavier Castaneda being a little bit dinged up, and Caleb Murphy full-time running the point, that's no small note, and the fact that Madut Akech has improved as well. But wow, Jameer Chaplin. I went to a couple practices, and I'll be honest, I was looking for the new guys, Oduro and Chewa and Murphy, and looking at some of the guys that are returning, and everything he said was true, but Chaplin just jumping in there and apparently has been tremendous. He also gave an update on Alexis Yetna, so if you want to listen back to the show, it's the beginning of the second segment, so about a quarter after, as it were. Essentially, they put him back on the floor for real last week for the first time, and by practice number three, he was leading the team in rebounding again. Now, we'd love to have given you the schedule by now, but there are some challenges, and the guy that's greatly in charge of scheduling is Tom Arion.
It starts with Coach Gregory and myself in particular in terms of collaborating as we put together schedules each year, and they reflect our approach for that season, that particular team. And we thought we had had, obviously, we in advance had done a really good job with our initial schedule for this season, non-conference-wise. It was outstanding, and then obviously, every school in the country is dealing with the virus and the impact that Corona has and the pandemic. And obviously, everyone was kind of the marching orders changed. When it changed, you go from having 13 games You're in an MTE tournament in Fort Myers originally with Wisconsin and really good teams, Colorado, Butler, and obviously convenience-wise, it was so convenient for us to be able to get down right down on, right down the highway, literally. And then obviously a mix and match of some home games and some high-level home and home game series. So we had 13 games, and really you blew up the whole thing, to be almost honest with you. And now you're, instead of playing 13 conference games, they allow you to play up to 7 now on the new model. The league bumps up from 18 to 20 conference games. So getting 7 might sound like a little bit simpler number or easier number, but then you know we've scheduled games with some teams, and whether it just be in the last couple of days or the last couple of weeks, some schools have dropped their program for this year.
Let's talk about Bethune-Cookman. Yeah. That was going to be your opener, and boom, right off the bat, that one's gone.
Yeah, that was gone. It was going to be our opener on the 25th, and you know, sadly for those that staff and those kids, I mean, they didn't talk about not playing at all, not playing the first semester. They talked about canceling for the season, so that caught us off guard. I think we talked about it. I told PG when it happened, it was probably the worst game that could be pulled from us because everybody kind of had an opener. Right. And to make that work, it's been a very challenging situation for us. And, you know, we're not any different than anybody else in the country. So, we just keep rolling up our sleeves and continue to find options. We were fortunate when our initial Fort Myers event kind of fell apart, we needed to find an MTE that would get us an opportunity to play some higher profile quality net teams. And we were able to get invited into the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic up at Mohegan Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut, which obviously includes an ACC team in Virginia Tech, a terrific Rhode Island team. And Temple was another team, so they kind of made it into a classic rather than a true tournament. So we know that we're playing Rhode Island, who has one of the preseason players of the year in Fats Russell, dynamic guard, and then obviously Virginia Tech. Mike Young's a terrific coach, and they had a really good first year in the transition to him taking over in Blacksburg.
They will definitely be playing those two games next weekend, and you'll hear them on USF Bulls Unlimited. Possibility that they're going to try and get another game while they're up there, as many teams are doing the same thing, playing in the official event, but also staying in the bubble-like environment of the Mohegan Sun. Here's a little bit of David Collins with Jim Lighthall and what he's been working on to improve.
I've really been focusing on, getting better at, getting other guys involved, and I think that's one of the best things that I've been doing. And it's always a great feeling. It always feels good to score, but to help someone score is a great feeling too.
So if you had your chance to only have your name in one spot on the record book, would it be scoring, steals, you're there, getting to the free throw line, you're there, what would be the one that you would want to have your name etched in?
It would have to be either points or steals.
Okay.
And steals just because I'm second and I know Q's first, so I would really just want to beat out Q.
You're gonna reel him in?
Yeah.
So it won't be a weekly show like the football radio show. We're scheduled for 7 more, so we'll spread them out throughout the course of the season.